Morning, everybody. Nice to see everyone here. It's a beautiful morning. My name is Elliot Cohn. I'm the Executive Director of Yeshiva University Torah Mitzion Kollel. Pleasure to welcome you here this morning. It is my honor and privilege to call up Rabbi Sprung this morning. Rabbi Sprung is currently the Assistant Rabbi of Congregation Or Torah in Skokie, as well as a Rebbe right here at Ida Crown Jewish Academy. And he is also, of course, a former Chaver Kollel here at the YU Torah Mitzion Kollel. Rabbi Sprung previously attended Yeshivat Birkat Moshe in Maale Adumim for 2 years before obtaining a Bachelor of Laws at Bar Ilan University. And then, following Bar Ilan, Rabbi Sprung studied for 3 years under Rabbi Jeremy Weider at YU Reitz, the Rabbi Isaac Achan Theological Seminary at YU, where he obtained his rabbinical ordination. Rabbi Sprung is currently pursuing an MA in Jewish Philosophy at the Bernard Revel Graduate School of Jewish Studies at YU, and Rav Yitzi and his mishpacha live right here in Skokie. Without further ado, Rabbi Yitzi Sprung. Looking forward to hearing his words about honesty, or Hashem's name, a question of dignity.
Yashar Koach, thank you so much. I really want to thank the Kollel for this opportunity. I want to thank you for joining me. This is a very, very special occasion to be able to learn in person. It's very, very exciting. A special thank you to one of my Sunday morning chavrusas who made the trek in person for our first in-person learning in over a year. Okay. I'd like to pick up where Rabbi Feldman left off. Rabbi Feldman really gave us a skira, sort of a survey of the broad contours of this halachic concept of human dignity, kavod abriot, and what do we do when there's a clash between human dignity and some other halacha. If you don't mind, what I want to do is I want to zoom in two different ways. Number one, I'd like to zoom in on the main source that Rabbi Feldman raised, because we need to look inside the Gemara to properly understand and appreciate just what's going on over here. And this will give us a much better understanding of how to actually apply this principle. And the second thing I want to do is actually take a relatively well-known case, or if it's not so relatively well-known, so now it'll be relatively well-known, a relatively well-known case where there was such a clash between human dignity and feeling, and halacha. And it's actually quite a sensitive case. Rav Avadia Yosef received the following question, which is, it's not a question you want to receive. So it goes like this in source number 3, if you'd like to read along with me. If you don't have a sheet, they have some in the back over there. So nish'alti oto odot isha shebiota tzira pnuya chayta chayishut im bachor achad v'nit abra mimenu. There was a certain young woman that Rav Avadia Yosef was asked about, who, in her time, she lived with a certain young man. They weren't married, but they lived together. Ukishukar ubara. Turns out she became pregnant, and when she found out that she was pregnant, halchaitza rofe echad vasala hapala melachutit. So she found out that she was pregnant, and she got a hapala melachutit, that means an abortion. And this is in her past. This is already a long time has passed. Achar kach avra misham liracher. She goes to a new town. V'chazara b'tshuva shleima b'shmirat Torah u'mitzvot. Now, Baruch Hashem, she is returning to Torah. She's returning to a close relationship with Hashem. She keeps Torah and Mitzvot again. Amazing. And even better, Nis'et the Bachor Yeshiva Acharid Devar Hashem. She found a very wonderful young husband who is Shomer Torah u'mitzvot, and they live happily together. They got married. V'chayu yachtav ba'ava v'achva shalom v'reyot. They have this beautiful marriage. And one amazing blessing, she became pregnant again. V'yalda lo ben zachar. And now they have a little boy. So, what's the father immediately say? So, he's not a Kohen. He's not a Levi. She's not a Bat Kohen. She's not a Bat Levi. He says, I want to do a Pidyon Aven. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that if there's a firstborn son to a Jewish woman and her husband, and they're not from a Kohanic or a Levi family, and there wasn't a C-section, and it's a boy, it's not a girl, the firstborn. So now, in a certain sense, the child has been pre-dedicated to the Mikdash. So you may recall, very famously, Shmuel HaNavi, his mother makes such a dedication that he needs to be dropped off in the Mishkan. Okay, his mom, Chana, can't hold on to him. So that's what happens. When he's big enough, she takes him to the Mishkan, and now Eli, he owns the boy, so to speak. He belongs to Hashem's property, the Mishkan. So fundamentally speaking, every single firstborn boy, within certain parameters, is really owned by the Mishkan, or the Mikdash. They're in this Shmuel HaNavi situation. How do we get them out? We do what's called the Pidyon Aven. So when the boy is 30 days old, we go, and we buy the kid back. We redeem him. And it's a good deal. The Kohen says, you've done it. We have a Kohen or a Mitz, okay? So the Kohen says, you sure you really want the kid? You know, you absolutely certain? Yes, I want him. We exchange funds. The Pidyon Aven takes place, and mommy and daddy can go home and raise their beautiful child. What's the problem? Why is she this young mother who should be over the moon? Why is she so nervous right now? Boy's not the firstborn. And to make things worse, so the father doesn't know. Technically speaking, there's no fundamental halakhic obligation for a person to reveal their personal sins even to their closest loved ones. So they got married. She wants to be able to move on past this experience. Not her most joyful moments. She's done tshuva. She's in a new place in her life. She'd like to move on. And now what's going to happen? She's going to go tell her husband, look, I'm really sorry. We can't do a Pidyon Aven. So she goes to the local rabbi. She tells him the story. The local rabbi says, oh my goodness. You know, that some things you wish you didn't know, right? So he goes to Rav Avadya Yosef. And he says, tell me, Rebbe, do I have to tell the father? Do I have to tell him? Now, let's just be clear for a second. You know, there's this... we would never go around, God forbid, imitating mitzvot. Okay, well, chinuch. There's a mitzvah in Judaism to educate our children, so we have them perform mitzvot as though they're doing them. But I wouldn't walk around wearing a plastic pair of tefillin. Ein davar kaze, I wouldn't do that. But, in this case, maybe we could just go through the motions. What's the only thing here that can't be fudged? I can't just go to the Kohen and say, skip the questions, run through it, make it work, it'll happen. What can't be fudged in the Pidyon Aven? This is it. What? The bracha. Okay, there's a bracha. In the Gemara in Bracha, we learn, in Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, 33a, that when the Torah says, Lo Tisa, don't take Hashem's name in vain. So this includes making a bracha you don't have to make, what is called a bracha she'ena tzricha. This is an unnecessary bracha. That counts as taking God's name in vain. We could fudge everything. But what about that? Okay. You know, it's an interesting thing. Can I ask you, what would you like to happen here? What would you like the outcome to be?
There's no birth.
There's no birth. You want to go back and rewrite the past, right? You can imagine. That's where she must be, for sure. She for sure wishes this never happened. Okay, what about you now? You heard about this case. This is not the only case in the Tshuvot, in the responsa literature, where such a thing took place. What do you want to be able to do right now?
To wash.
To wash. What do you mean?
So she didn't make the...
Find some way to help her out! She's a newlywed with her first kid! This is not going to go well with her husband! Okay, so this is number one. It's not inappropriate to want a positive outcome. Okay? The Gemara tells us in the name of Rabbi Simlai, the Torah begins with chesed and it ends with chesed. Okay, the Torah is kulo chesed. We want things to work out for people. I remember there's a letter from Rabbi Soloveitchik, not local here, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, his big brother, Rabbi Joseph V. Soloveitchik, the Rav. So there's a letter. He received the following very important question. I'm not sure exactly when this took place, if it was in World War II or right after World War II, whatever the case is. So the Navy has gone around and they're collecting chaplains. So they realize they have some Jewish soldiers. They want to get some Jewish chaplains too. And of course, immediately the Reform movement jumps up and volunteers some of the rabbinical students. They're going to be chaplains. And immediately the conservative movement jumps up and they volunteer some of their students, their young rabbis. They're going to be chaplains. And then all of the yeshivas look around from all the Orthodox Jews. And they say, you know, we're going to put these guys on a boat. That's already getting into potential areas of prohibitions. Who knows what Isurim are going to go on out on the Navy? Is this really a good idea? And even if I can find Bidi Eved, after the fact I could say there are ways to work around, we'll make it work, can I say beforehand, put yourself in a Bidi Eved situation? So Rabbi Soloveitchik receives a letter, and they say, can we send the young rabbinical students and the young graduates from YU, from Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, out into this situation? And Rabbi Soloveitchik opens the letter back, saying, I want to be able to say yes. Now, that doesn't mean you can, but it's okay for us to want to say yes. There's another, I think, relatively well-known statement from Rav Soloveitchik where he said, if someone approaches you with a really difficult question, so if God forbid, there's a woman who she needs a get, or she's in some type of crisis where her husband's disappeared and she's an aguna, so you have to be desperate to help her. Now, it's also true at the same time, very true, very important to keep in mind. And Rav Soloveitchik uses the following analogy. He says, halacha can be compared in a certain sense to math. So in the same way that there are mathematical laws which must be applied, and at some point they'll reach their ultimate inevitable conclusion, yet I may want an answer of a certain sort, so too in halacha. I may want an answer of a certain sort, but fundamentally there are laws which may lead to some inevitable conclusion that I may not like. That doesn't mean I can't want to help. We want to be able to say yes, for sure. So, what are we going to do? So Rabbi Feldman quoted for us the Gemara in Brachot. I want to just look at source number one, just to think for a moment about this issue when we feel this sense of a clash. Because the Pasuk in Mishlei says, from Shlomo HaMelech, Ein Chochma, Ve'ein Tvuna, Ve'ein Eitza L'Neged Hashem. There's no such thing as being too smart, too wise, having clever strategies that will overcome what Hashem wants. Sus muchan liyom muchama, you can have a horse readied for battle, v'la Hashem atshua, but in reality, salvation comes from Hashem. And the Malbim comments over there, Ein chokhma v'ein tvuna v'ein eitzal neged Hashem, sus muchan, etc. Omer, Shlomo Melech means to say, Hagam shehabichira nitna biyad adam. While it is so, source number two, beginning of the second line, while it is so, that of course human beings are endowed with free will, uv'inyanim ha'pratim yatzliach ha'adam ha'idei hachanato v'shkedato. And normally, what do we say? How do you make it in life? You try really hard. You think well before you act. Nonetheless, v'choze, binyanim ha'gzurim et Hashem. When something is decreed from Hashem, uksuvim et hashkacha. When God's providence says this is how it's going to be. Okay. So v'chol zeh kol eila kol zot kol eila lo yu'il neged Hashem. You can't do anything against Hashem's decree. That's just the way that it is. And that's fundamentally what we feel over here. There's a decree not to take Hashem's name in vain. That's the decree. What can I do? Now Shlomo HaMelech is discussing it in an area, in questions of practical success. Shlomo HaMelech is not talking about our question of a halakhic problem. He means in life, what happens if I do my best, but Hashem wants something else? Okay? Nothing I can do. To that we say, Ein chokma, vein tvuna, vein etza, neged Hashem, whatever Hashem wants, that's what's going to be. But if I flip over the page to page number 2, so now we see that the Gemara uses this pasuk in order to define our particular issue, our halachic conflict. And even though we had a survey before, I hope you won't mind if we zoom in a little bit to see the Gemara together. And if we do so, so we'll be able to understand properly how Rav Ovadia Yosef chooses to answer this very serious question. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of his Rebbe, Rav. Rav Yehuda is a second generation Amora living in Babylonia. He's always quoting his Rebbeim, Rav and Shmuel. Rav is his Rebbe first. Very often in the Gemara I will find the phrase, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. There are different Amoraim with different styles. So Rav and Abaye, they come up with new svaras, new ways of thinking, and they conceive of new ideas, and they apply things, and they show you how things could be understood differently. Rav Yehuda tells you what his Rebbeim said. That's what he does. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Hamotzei kilayim bivigdo. Somebody who finds kilayim, shatnez, is a mixture of wool and linen in his clothing. Poshtan. He takes it off, afilu bashuk, even in the marketplace. So now picture yourself in Machne Yehuda on a Friday. Okay? And of course you're going to sample all of the delightful, the cheeses, the fruit, whatever the case is. How exciting. You get those gummy worms you can't really get here. And now you realize you're wearing shatnez. Now I just want to keep something in mind here. Okay, just picture this person. Okay, because this guy is in Machne Yehuda. But what clothing is he wearing? I once spent Shabbos with a guy. This is an unusual experience. I once spent Shabbos with a guy who got ready for Shabbos. So my friend and I were there. We put on our Shabbos clothes. He was wearing a suit. He came out in like just like a robe. He's wearing, it was actually quite ornate. It was beautiful. So
Bukharian, no?
What? No, so it wasn't. So I we asked him. We said, we're curious. It's like, you hear these stories sometimes about like the Rebbe does something strange. The Talmidim ask, like they work up the courage to say, I don't know, Rebbe, looks a little strange. Will you explain? So we worked up the courage to ask him, or we were chutzpahdik. I don't know, but we asked him about his robe, and he says this robe is a Second Temple era robe. It's a reconstruction of how someone would have been dressed. And you know what they didn't have in the Second Temple that we have now? Underwear. Okay. So now, picture this case. This person, I know, I apologize. This is just what's happening in the Gemara. You have to understand. This person's momish wearing this robe. Okay. Let's say it has four corners and there's tzitzis. Amazing. Okay. He's wearing this robe. He's in the middle of Machane Yehuda on an Erev Shabbos. He's got the gummy worms. Oh my goodness, there's shatnez. Poshtan, you gotta take it off. Okay. Hopefully he goes, I don't know, find the bathroom quick. I don't know. It's, you don't want to be in this situation. Right? We talk about Kavod HaBriya, human dignity. This is what we mean. Okay? My goodness, the security cameras. We don't want this. Nobody wants this case. But you have to take it off. Why? Because we just learned it in Mishlei. In Chachma, in Tfuna, in Eitzel, Neged Hashem. That's how it goes. Hashem decided that you have to listen to His rules. He's God. He made the rules. He made the world. What else do you want? Honestly, just conceptually, does it make any sense to not listen to Hashem? And just think about it fundamentally. As a human being, I'd like to feel that my life has a sense of purpose, that there's something important for me to do. Hashem made this universe with certain concepts and rules that underlie it on a moral level, not just on a physical one. What's even the point of not listening to Hashem? It doesn't make any sense. So my time, why would you not listen to Hashem? Kol makom, shishkol Hashem, in kol kavod rad. I'm sorry. I know it's terribly awkward. I know for 100 years that every single bar mitzvah, that time in Machane Yehuda is going to come up. Every time the family comes together, every single Thanksgiving, there won't be even one more Thanksgiving where they don't talk about the Machane Yehuda incident with the Shanis Rebbe. That's how it's going to be. Tashma. Nonetheless, Gadol Kavod Abriyo Shedochet Lo Taseh Shabbat Torah. How does the Gemara work? Ever think about this question? This is a very important book. How does it work? One of the main things that the Gemara wants to do is knock things together and see what concepts emerge. Picture for yourself for a moment the Jewish bookshelf. So I have Tanakh, and that's where Hashem communicates to us. And in addition to Tanakh, I have a Torah Sheba'al Peh, an oral law. The oral law will eventually get concretized in the Mishnah. So now my Jewish bookcase has a Tanakh and a Mishnah. But then I look at it and I say, look, I want to do Judaism. I want to be a good Jew. What does all this stuff mean, and how does it work? And that's what Gemara does. Gemara says, okay, if Mishnah is a car, let's open up the hood and see how this car operates. How do these concepts actually go together? If being a Tzelem Elokim means being an understanding human being, growing in our understanding of how Hashem created the world, so that means I have to learn Gemara if I want to be a Tzelem Elokim Jew about Halacha. There have been who knows how many millions of Yerei Shemayim who didn't learn Gemara. That's okay. We're not coming to say anything negative. But if you are interested, so Gemara is the place you look. So Gemara says, "Oh, great! I have a principle for you. Always do what Hashem says, no matter what. Everything else is bad." And then the Gemara says, "Well, actually, at the same time, you know, we also learned that human dignity can override that. So now you understand." The Gemara is very bothered by this. And that's what's leading us into this whole concept, this whole question. So, Ramai, why should that be the case that every should find a halacha that's pushed aside just because, what, Kavod Abriyo, dignity? I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense. Why don't we say, in Chachmei Tvunei Benetz, and Negev Hashem? So, the Gemara goes through a couple cases. Sach HaKol, we come to the conclusion, Targuma, Rav, Bar Shiva, Kameh Rav Kahana, Bilav Lo Tasor. It refers, as Rabbi Feldman said earlier, to all the rabbinic mitzvot, commandments, that are dependent on Lo Tasor, not to stray from what the rabbi said to the left or the right. And that was our first major category, is that we found there's like an exception to this rule. And the Gemara goes on, then it lists, we won't do it inside, then it lists the special halacha of Hashavat Aveda, right, that Rabbi Feldman mentioned, that when it comes to returning a lost object, I don't have to do so if it's beneath my dignity, or if it costs too much money. Because the Torah says, V'hitalamta mayam, you can ignore lost objects once in a while. There are a number of cases when that's actually permissible and appropriate. It's a thing that exists in halacha. Okay, so in financial questions, that's the rule. I can't learn from financial questions to ritual questions. So just because something might be a little difficult or too expensive in Hashavat Aveda, that doesn't mean that I don't have to go out and get matzah next year, even if it costs $10,000 a pound. Okay, you have to do it anyway. And then the last case, that was the Sheva Al Tasa case, the sin of omission that Rabbi Feldman mentioned, that we have a man who's going to give his son a circumcision or bring a Korban Pesach. And then he finds this Meit Mitzvah, which we just read about in the Parsha yesterday. He sees there's someone who passed away, Rachmana Litzlan, and there's no one there to take care of him. And we say, even though you won't be able to go do a Bris Milah, or even though now you'll be Tameh, you won't be able to do a Korban Pesach, and these are serious mitzvah. Okay, these are the positive commandments where you get spiritual excision. Correct. If you don't do them, stop. Stop what you're doing and go help this person. You're going to refrain from doing what you have to do. Sheva al tasa, sit down and go help this Meit Mitzvah. Go bury this person right now, become Tamei, and you'll do Pesach Sheni. Okay. if I look at the Rambam in source number 5, this is page number 3. So, the Rambam tells us about our Gemara. He says as follows, Haro'eh kil'ayim shel Torah chavero. Someone who sees some shadness, Torah level shadness, wool and linen together on his friend's back. Afilo ayam alech b'shuk, even if he's inside the shuk. Kofetzlo v'kor'o alav miyad. Jump on him and rip that robe off. Okay, they're not going to be good friends anymore. Maybe, probably. They're not so close anymore. They were a little too close. Now it's over. Okay. Va'afilo haya rabo shalim do chokma. Even if it was his Rebbe who taught him how to learn. She'en kavod abriya tocha iser lo ta'aseh mufarash b'Torah. Because an iser, explicit prohibition in the Torah cannot be set aside for human dignity. Okay. The rest he summarizes our points. Let me ask you. You know this Rambam now. What are you going to do for this new mother? What do we do? She's in trouble, right? She's in big trouble. Why is she in such big trouble?
Never told her husband.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be pretty upset. Now, that's also true. That's not so good. We don't want that. Yeah, I understand. I mean, we say this over and over again. The Torah is kulo chesed. The whole thing is to bring chesed to us. We gotta help her if we can. But I looked at the Rambam, and it turns out that if someone's about to do something wrong, and in this case, not wearing shanes, he's going to make a bracha shein etzricha. Okay, he's going to take Hashem's name in vain. He's going to make a bracha he doesn't need to make. Even if he was in the shuk, we would rip off his cloak. So it looks very much, at first glance, like we're in serious trouble. Now, the Rush says something different. This will be our Yerushalmi for the day. If you're doing Daf Yomi, you're still not doing Yerushalmi, I bet. So, if you'll bear with me, let's read the Rush, who paskins out of a Yerushalmi, and he helps us understand a different approach over here. Source number 6, Yerushalmi. Harei shalach b'shuk v'nimtza levush kil'ayim. Somebody is walking along in the marketplace and they find, just as our Gemara says, except this is taking place in Eretz Yisrael, that he's wearing shatnez. Trin amurayin. Yerushalmi, you know, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, so he has an article where he explains how does the Gemara function, what's every text, and when I look at the page of the Gemara, what are they all doing? How does it work? So he calls the Bavli an elliptical text. Okay, what that means, in the same sense, an ellipsis means dot, dot, dot. The Gemara speaks with, let's say, a generous use of ellipses. The Gemara will say point A, dot, 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 point C or D, dot, 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 so on and so forth. And Rashi comes in and he fills things in for us. And that's why Rashi is so important. If the Bavli is hard to read because it leaves out more than it includes, wait till you see the Yerushalmi. Okay? It's like 10 million times harder because there's a lot more left out. Nonetheless, let's read this together. Train Amoraim. Two Amoraim say, I have an opinion about this case, about the guy who's walking the shuk wearing shanes. Chad Amar Asur. One of them says, you're stuck, it's Asur, take off your cloak. V'chad Amar Mutar. What does the other one say? You keep it on. Doesn't have to take it off. Manda Asar Dvar Torah. So one who says, take off that cloak. Kid, that's a halacha. What do you want? Umanda Matir. Kidamar Rabbi Zera. But the one who says it's okay, he holds like Rabbi Zera, one of the Babylonian Amoraim who actually moved to Eretz Yisrael. Gadol kavod abriyot shetoch et ha-mitzvah belo ta'aseh sha'achat. Different version. Kavod abriyot, human dignity is so great that it can set aside a lo ta'aseh for a moment. He means even a Torah level lo ta'aseh. Tani. In fact, the Yerushalmi continues along the same lines. Ein medaktikin lo b'meit v'lo b'kol ayin v'beit ha-midrash. If someone passes away, God forbid, in the base medrash, or someone's wearing kilayim, and they're in the middle of learning, don't pay attention. Don't even say anything. Rabbi Yossi, hava yati v'matni. Rabbi Yossi was sitting in the base medrash. He was learning. Vava taman mita. Someone passed away. Rachmana l'islan, inside the base medrash. Manda nafak lo amar leiz. Someone who left the base medrash didn't want to disturb his learning, didn't tell him. Kum, umanda yati v'lo amar leiz klum. And someone who came in to sit down and start learning, he also didn't say anything. Okay. Skipping down a little bit. No, sorry, we have to read it inside. Rabbi Ami Ami Yati Vumatni. Rabbi Ami was sitting and learning, Amar Chad Lachavre, Atlavosh Kilayim. One guy says to his friend, you're wearing Kilayim. Amar Le Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, yeah, you know what? Shalof Ma'anecha Vahavle. So take off your robe and give it to him. Why'd you tell him he's wearing Kilayim? You shouldn't have told him. He holds, must be that it's permissible. Or maybe it was a rabbinic case. And we all know the Gemara, even the Bavli says that a derabanan is already nidche, set aside on behalf of covered abriot. Maybe it was even midoraita. If I find kilayim shatnis in my own clothing, I take off my robe. It's sarach lefosha afilu b'shuk. Avalim adam roe kilayim bevigde chavero. But if someone sees his friend wearing kilayim, v'alavush kilayim eni yodea, the person who's wearing it doesn't know, ein lomar lo b'shuk. Don't tell him in public, as yagia leveto, till he gets home. Because very, very embarrassing. Lo yafrishenu mishokeg. You don't have to separate him from any mistake. Now, let's ask a serious question. I get it. The Yerushalmi is much more makel here. But we're Bavli Jews. We follow the Babylonian Talmud. If there is a dispute between the Yerushalmi, the Amoraim in Israel, and the Bavli, the Amoraim who lived in Bavel, we follow the Babylonian Amoraim. They knew everything that appeared in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi sums up like 100 years plus before the Bavli. So they had all that information. So in the same way that in the Bavli itself, in the Gemara, we typically follow Rav Ashi, who's at the end, who's had time to see all the opinions, he really understands things, we paskin like him, so too the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. They thought of all that stuff, and they paskin against it anyway, that means you follow the Bavli, we always follow the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. So if the Rush paskins this way, what does that tell us? What do I know now about this Yerushalmi and this Bavli? What do you say? According to the Rush, they don't argue. According to the Rush, the Yerushalmi and the Bavli have no dispute whatsoever. Okay. So now I have a suffix. According to the Rambam, there's nothing we could do for. According to the Rush, if my friend's walking with shatnez in the shuk, so I don't have to tell him till he gets home. We learned that if something passes for just a moment, alotase for just a moment, we can let it be. We can let it lie. How much is this guy, how often is he doing this pidyon ben bracha? It's a lo ta'aseh for a moment. Bishogeg. By accident, by mistake, he doesn't know about it. So according to the Rush, we'd be able to go to her, and we could say to her, you know what? Don't say anything. Okay. There are such cases, absolutely. And nothing's more famous than saying, we don't tell people about certain things in Yichus. Right, so if you have, if a rabbi knows that there's some issue in a family, so he's not going to go be the one who makes the wedding, but he's not going to go tell other people about the issue. This would be a good example of that. So hopefully no one tells the father, at least according to the Rush. So let's just parse the issue for a second, and we'll just see very quickly how do we deal with this. So one question we have is whether or not you tell someone who is accidentally violating Torah if it's going to be a massive hit to their dignity. In this case, that's obviously what's going to happen. Okay, this is a major issue for the woman, for the man, for their marriage, maybe for the kid. We don't want to go there. This is a massive Kavod HaBriyot issue. We understand that. That's for sure true. It's a show gig. It's a machloket between the Rambam and the Rush. Now, there's a principle in the Rambam. The Rambam copies the language of the Gemara, but he translates it into Hebrew. So when I looked at the Rambam and I saw Horo'ek Hil'ayim Shel Torah Achavero, someone who sees his friend is wearing shatnez, so we can divine from this that the Rambam has a different girsa. He has a different text in front of him, a different version of the Gemara. The Rambam thinks the Gemara begins explicitly with this case of shogeg, of the person who's accidentally wearing shatnez in the shuk, and you take it off. Our version of the Gemara, which is what the Rush has, okay, and it's eventually how the Truma Ledeshen Paskins and how the Ramah Paskins, it only talks about a person finding it on themselves. Okay? This girsa issue leads to this major machloket between the Rambam and the Rush. According to the Rambam, the Gemara explicitly addressed the case of your friend who's mistakenly violating Torah, and you have to tell him. According to the Rush, that question's never addressed. It seems to be Sug Shel Sheva Al Taaseh. It's a type of sin of omission. I just won't tell him yet. That's very reasonable. So now they're arguing about whether or not refraining from telling your friend if they're going to do an Avera, they're doing an Avera. Is that a Sheva Al Taaseh? The Gemara explicitly said is okay. Okay, I don't know. Big time suffix. How could you resolve this? Who's right? Who's the right text in the Gemara? Okay, that's suffix number one. It's a doubt, an uncertainty in halacha. How to paskin from this Gemara? Because we don't know exactly what the Gemara is supposed to tell us. Is it supposed to say like the Rambam says, that if it's a rabbinic issue, you can get out of it? Or is it supposed to tell us like the Rush says, even if it's a Doraita issue, and it's a mistake, I don't have to say anything. Number two, Lo Tisa. I buried the lead over here. Abracha Shehan Tzricha. So the Gemara says in the name of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, that Lo Tisa, don't take Hashem's name in vain, is the source of not making a bracha you don't have to make. The Rishonim have a massive argument about whether or not this is Doraita or Midarabanan. Is this a Torah level prohibition? Or is it only rabbinic in nature? The Rambam holds this is truly the pasuk that's the source for this violation. You can't take Hashem's name in vain. In which case, there's nothing you could do for this young woman. Okay? Torah level prohibition of her husband making a bracha, and you're not allowed to let your friend do a sin on a Torah level. That's Yerushalmi. The Rambam thinks that the Bavli is rejecting Yerushalmi. That would be the Rambam. But for the rest of the Rishonim, it's a Rabbanan. Hashai Paskin? Sir Avadia says, the Sveik Sveika. It's a double doubt. Number one, I'm not sure whether or not Lotisa, taking Hashem's name in vain in a bracha, is rabbinic or not. And if it's rabbinic, we could say, don't say anything to him, because Kavod HaBriyot is definitely doche a rabbinic mitzvah, according to everybody. The second doubt is whether or not, even if it's Doraita, can we say we hold like the Rush over the Rambam? I can say I'm not sure what to do. Maybe I would normally be stringent. But in a Sveik Sveika, two doubts, I can be Mako. So Rav Avadya Yosef ultimately concludes, due to the nature of this Sveik Sveika, that they're able to advise the rabbi not to tell the father anything. Okay? And who knows? Shalom Bayit is saved. Okay? This is a big deal. Okay. So let's summarize. We know that nothing in the world makes sense if we don't listen to Hashem. It's an absolutely absurd concept. Okay, we have some temptation. We sin. But it's not logical. And it wouldn't make any sense for us to defy Hashem's rules. At the same time, sometimes you're in a difficult situation, And you'd like to be able to tell someone whatever the lenient answer is. And in this terrible case of the young woman who doesn't want to tell her husband about her past life that she'd like to move beyond, we'd like to be able to tell her that her husband can go and make a bracha she'ena tzricha, make a bracha that is not a real bracha, that he never has to make, and take Hashem's name in vain. We want to be able to say that with trepidation. Rav Ovadia Yosef concludes this is in fact possible. Because the Gemara that provides the source for this point gives us a machloka between the Rosh and the Rambam, and we don't know how to paskin. It's a suffix, it's a doubt. Should we say that Kavod HaBriyot is doche, it sets aside or overrides only a rabbinic prohibition, or even a Torah level prohibition for a moment, especially if it's just a mistake your friend's making? Additionally, when it came to Lotisa, taking Hashem's name in vain, we weren't even sure if that was rabbinic or not. And most of the Rishonim conclude that it's rabbinic. So ultimately, in the face of this double doubt, we may conclude, Baruch Hashem, that there is in fact a halachic path to help her. We don't get to make things up. The rules are what they are. But when you could help someone, okay, there's nothing more that we want. I thank you very much for learning with me. Thank you so much, Mr. Cohen. I really appreciate the kol arranging this. Let's do this again and again. I wish you be zocha just to learn more Torah together.